The Divorced Girl Smiling Podcast with your host, Jackie Pilosoff.
No one should have to go through a divorce feeling alone and isolated. The Divorced Girl Smiling Podcast is a production of Divorced Girl Smiling, where every show is 30 minutes aimed to empower you, help you feel validated and understood, and connect you with some of the best divorce professionals in the industry. So grab a cup of coffee or a glass of wine and start smiling as you join us right now for the Divorced Girl Smiling Podcast. Heard everywhere podcasts can be found and always at divorcedgirlsmiling.com. Before we get started, I want to talk about one of the hardest life decisions there is. Should we get divorced or should we try to save the marriage? And so many couples go back and forth for months, sometimes even years, trying to make this decision. Well, guess what? Did you know that there's a process called discernment counseling that is dedicated to helping you and your spouse make that decision? Discernment counseling isn't new, but it's gained a lot of popularity recently. So if this idea interests you, I want to highly recommend Dr. Ginny Wright, who is a clinical psychologist and certified discernment counselor. And Ginny is wonderful. And discernment counseling is 1 to 5 sessions. It's where a couple works with Ginny to figure out the best road forward, either get divorced, stay or work on the marriage, or take a break and decide later. So if you want to learn more, you can find Ginny at lwadiscernment.com. I also want to talk about divorce attorney Liz Felt Wakeman. Liz is based in Chicago, and she earned her law degree in 1993 and has been practicing ever since. She's a certified mediator and a collaborative divorce attorney as well. And what I love about Liz is her commitment to ethics and doing the right thing in every case. Her standards are high for fairness and the best possible outcome for her clients. If you want to learn more about Liz, you can find her at wakemanlaw.net. And you can find both Liz and Ginny in the Trusted Professional section of Divorced Girls Smiling. So one of the biggest emotions that I find when people are going through a divorce is anger. And I remember when I was going through a divorce, I was angry at everyone. I was angry at my ex, obviously. I was angry at life, angry at God, angry at other people, angry at the driver in front of me who was going too slow. I just had all this anger pent up in me that was so much bigger, because I believe that under anger is fear, stress, sadness, and all these other emotions. So I want to dedicate this whole episode to anger, and specifically wanted anger versus unwanted anger. I love this. I'm so looking forward to this conversation because my guest is Dr. Mort Orman, who is an internal medicine physician and an anger elimination expert. Hi, Mort.
Hello, Jackie. Thanks for having me on your show.
Thank you so much for doing this. And as I said, I'm really looking forward to this conversation because I think that anger is one of those emotions that can really hurt you being the angry person even more so. Like, it doesn't even help to be the other people. It doesn't hurt them if you're angry. It just hurts yourself. So do you agree with what I said about people going through a divorce, how they have just so much anger in them? Tell me about that.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you can have a lot of anger. You can have a lot of anger before the divorce that may have led to the, or contributed to the divorce. And then when you go through the process, there's a lot to potentially be angry about, depending upon how people are treating each other and how the lawyers are treating each party and all that kind of stuff. And then even after you successfully get through the divorce and negotiate it all, and now you're co-parenting or whatever, the ex, you still have some kind of relationship with the ex, maybe. So there's a potential for ongoing kind of smoldering anger, particularly if you're co-parenting. So there's, you know, can get you coming and going when it comes to divorce. So that's one of the areas that I'm really interested in helping people, you know, to have much less anger as they go through the process.
Okay, now I want to tell my listeners, this is a good podcast to listen to if you feel like you want to get rid of your anger. And I have a lot of people who will email me and say, like, how do I stop being angry? But it's also a good podcast to listen to if you have a really angry soon-to-be ex-spouse so that you can understand that person's anger and where that's coming from as well and how to cope with their anger. So first, I want to start by talking about the definitions of wanted anger and unwanted anger, because there's a difference. And wanted anger is actually a good thing, right, Mort? So tell me what wanted anger is.
Well, yeah, it's an acknowledgement of the fact that anger isn't always bad. It isn't always harmful. It can sometimes be good for people. You know, it can motivate you. You know, sometimes if you're I've worked with people who've been in bad relationships, and women in particular, and they didn't really stand up for themselves in the beginning, and a lot of bad things happened, and they finally got to the point where they stood up for themselves, and it was anger that really got them to where they would willing to take action and do something. And a lot of times they ended up leaving the relationship, and it was anger that helped them do that. Of course, once you've used it for that purpose, it doesn't really have a lot of purpose to keep it going. But it can be a lot of people have been in bad situations and anger has helped pull them out. You know, when you're negotiating with people, sometimes anger comes out, you know, if a customer service. Sometimes I'm not really angry when I'm talking to a customer service rep, but I may pretend to be, you know, if I'm not getting, you know, satisfaction and they're not stepping up to the plate to fix something. So there are a lot of areas in life where anger can be beneficial, but when I say unwanted anger, that's what I'm referring to as the harmful type, some that you alluded to, the type that can damage your relationships, can damage your health, can cause problems at work, can cause conflicts and estrangement with your kids or other family members.
So before we get into the unwanted anger, I just want to touch on something that you said, because I think it's really important. I get a lot of emails from men and women getting divorced, and the ones I worry about the most are the people who are like, I'm not angry. This is what he wants. I worry more about that person because that person needs to be angry. And I think anger is really important and it's a healthy emotion to experience before and during a divorce. But I think more, tell me if I'm right, what you're whole mission is to have people let this anger go after you experience it. Like, you should experience the anger. It's something to be angry about if your spouse cheats or asks you for a divorce or if you feel is trying to cheat you out of money. But then at some point, you have to say, okay, I'm going to let this anger go because it's not serving me anymore.
Yes, yes. It's kind of like a Zen paradox. Yes, you know, if somebody's cheated on you or somebody's abused you or treated you badly, anger is appropriate as a response. But on the other hand, you can recognize all that, you can acknowledge all that, and then you can let go of the anger and not have to suffer from it, okay? And with the people that you talked about that, you know, say, I'm not angry, there's a lot of people that are, for lots of reasons, they don't feel the anger when they're angry. They may be angry, but they've trained themselves to not feel it because it's been not okay to express it or to have those feelings in the families they grew up in or the other environments they've been in. So there's a lot of people that you can look at their face and you can see how they're talking, what they're saying, and you can know that there's anger going on in there. But if you ask
them, I call that passive aggressive.
Yeah, but it's anger that just comes out in a, you know, indirect way rather than in directly being expressed. But the anger is going on inside and the person's not letting it up to the point where they feel it, because for various reasons, anger can be a scary emotion to have because you may be afraid you'll lose control and you may do something physically, you know, in response to your anger. So there's a lot of reasons why people might not want to fully experience their anger. But a lot of people are, and I've worked with a lot of people who said to me, you know, when we started this, I didn't really think I had a lot of anger, but as we've gone along in this coaching program, gee, I'm angry about a lot of stuff. I mean, I'm angry about people in traffic. Like you say, people in traffic, I get annoyed by little things. If I'm standing in line, it's not moving fast enough. If people aren't doing the things the way I want, you know, I have all these little daily annoyances, irritations, and things like that. I didn't realize how much anger I actually had, but I do have a lot. And so and you can get rid of a lot of that. So that's what I'd like to help you. I want them to get rid of the anger that they don't want or they don't need. And if it's anger that's useful and beneficial, then there's no reason to get rid of it until you're finished with it. And then if it's lingering on, then you can use this kind of approach to get rid of it.
You're listening to the Divorced Girl Smiling podcast. My name is Jackie Pilisoff, and I'm your host. And I'm here today with Dr. Mort Orman, an internal medicine physician and an anger elimination expert. And I want my listeners to hear that Mort has been doing this for 40 years. He did it in his practice. He did his anger elimination coaching for corporations, and he's really passionate about not only anger management, he's talking about anger elimination, which can change your life. So we are going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the impacts of unwanted anger, how they can affect your life in a negative way. And then, of course, he's going to offer a couple tips on eliminating your anger. We'll be right back. It is so easy to become overwhelmed emotionally and financially by the divorce process. And it's easy for the divorce to spiral out of control with devastating results. Those are the words of Marty Winder Adams, who has spent the past several years coaching high-achieving women before, during, and after divorce. And what I love about Marty is not only does she bring so much experience to the table, 25 years as a credentialed mediator, but she's a great listener. She has a tremendous passion to help women become empowered, confident, and healthy again. If you want to learn more about Marty Winder Adams, you can find her at divorcecoachforwomen.com, and it's the number four. I also want to take a minute and talk about a wonderful therapist. Her name is Julie Walton, and Julie is an LCPC who has been practicing for several years. She's committed to supporting individuals, couples, and families in navigating diverse, complex issues. Julie has extensive experience working with adolescents and adults who struggle with anxiety, depression, trauma, abuse, family conflicts, and transitional life events related to professional challenges, grief, loss, unexpected stressors, and of course, divorce. And Julie is also a certified divorce mediator. So if you want to learn more about Julie, you can find her at her company website, which is NorthShoreReach.com. And you can find both Marty and Julie in the Trusted Professional section of Divorced Girl Smiling. Welcome back to the Divorced Girl Smiling podcast. My name is Jackie Pilisoff, and I'm your host. And today I'm talking about wanted anger and unwanted anger, how to get rid of anger, and what it can do to you if you hold on to it. My guest is Dr. Mort Orman, an internal medicine physician and an anger elimination expert who's been doing this for 40 years. Before we move on, Mort, I want to tell my listeners about your new book coming out, and how they can get it for free by listening to this podcast. So tell my listeners the name of your new book, what it's about, and how they can get it for free if they get it by April 30th.
Yes. So my new book is called Dr. Orman's Life-Changing Anger Cure. And for the last couple of years, I've been conducting a 10-session coaching program where I've been taking people through that in just 10 one-hour sessions and transforming their whole relationship to anger, giving them lots of insights and understandings and tools to be able to eliminate anger rather than management. And what I decided to do is to put all that training, all the things that I teach people into a book so that they really don't have to go through the coaching program. The only thing I can't put in the book is working on individual anger examples of in your life with you, specific ones, but I give some general examples in the book. But anyhow, it's a great book that'll change your whole understanding of anger and give you much more power and control over it. And it's on sale on Amazon, but you can get it for free through the month of April in support of National Stress Awareness Month, which is the whole month of April. So up till midnight, April 30th, Eastern Time, you can get a free PDF copy of the book instead of having to purchase it on Amazon. And the URL to go to for that is aprilbookoffer.com. And you just got to remember, if it's after April 30th, the offer will have expired. So try to get
it. And it will be $19.99 on Amazon. So get it for free now. But I think it's worth the $19.99 if you
absolutely
don't get it.
It's worth, if you could think about what the costs of the problems that anger can cause, like divorce. You know, what's the cost of a divorce? That's a lot more than $19.95.
It's less than a an office visit copay. How about that?
Okay.
Okay. Let's get back to unwanted anger. So if people have all of this anger,
yeah,
it's going to impact their family, relationships, friends, work, physical. What am I leaving out?
Job, self-esteem. I know when I was angry a lot in my 20s and 30s and didn't know what to do about it, it was very demoralizing. You know, because it was a problem I couldn't solve. And I was used to solving anything that really bothered me when I put my mind to it. And I just could not figure it out. I tried all the anger management stuff and all the stress management stuff. And I woke up every day and I was the same angry guy. So it was very demoralizing. You know, it doesn't make you feel good about yourself when you're not in control of your emotions, you know? So.
Right. I also think that it hurts your communication skills with others. So if you're having an argument with someone, you don't really know how to communicate because you have all this anger built up inside you. So you're not as good of a communicator. And physically, if something's eating away at you, I mean, Moore, you're the doctor, but isn't it going to start to affect you physically?
Health? That's one of the reasons. That's one of the reasons why I got into this area, because I started my practice. You know, I had all this anger issues myself, but I'm taking care of patients every day. And I'm seeing them over time. And as a doctor, we can tell the angry people from the not so angry people. And we get to see what happens to them, you know, year after year after year. And in terms of illnesses and other disruptive things. So you see the angry people have more heart attacks. They have more strokes. They have more other autoimmune diseases. They have more substance abuse. And they also tell you, they come in, they tell you about their family situation. So you see the divorces, you know, and they're much more common in the angry people. And you see the business partnerships that break up and all kinds of, you know, negative impacts from having a lot of anger that you don't know how to deal with. And that's largely where most of us are today. And all you got to do is turn on the television or scroll, you know, Instagram today. And you'll see tons of angry people all over the place that have no control over their anger, you know.
I know who you're referring to, that one guy who was just so angry. And I know right now, you know, the state of the world and politics is causing a lot of anger in people who may not even otherwise be angry people. It's just bringing them out. But I'm glad you brought up the part about the drinking, because I think a lot of people try to soothe their anger with addictions, drugs, pot, alcohol. And that causes other problems and doesn't even solve the anger problem, only temporarily for the one hour that you have your buzz or whatever.
Right. And that's the same. I mean, anger management's the same way, only it's a little healthier. It doesn't cause the addiction problems and the consequences of the addictions. But, you know, like you could have more accidents if, you know, being addicted to alcohol and other kinds of stuff. But it's still mainly dealing with the symptoms. You know, you've gotten angry. It's built up. It's going on for a while. And now you're just trying to quell the symptoms. So you can use drugs and alcohol and prescription medicines or relaxation techniques, deep breathing, a lot of, you know, anger management stuff. But the real gold is being able to intervene and turn the anger off when you don't want it. Mm-hmm. And understand where it's coming from, which most of us don't have a good understanding of that.
And is that what you do in your coaching? And that's what you talk about in your book? Because
absolutely.
If you can understand where it's coming from, that's how you get rid of it.
I give people a whole new way to understand where their anger is being generated from. And it's like these are missing puzzle pieces to the picture that most people don't have. And when you're missing half of the puzzle pieces, the most important half by far, it's very hard to do anything about it. And that's where I was in my 20s and 30s. I didn't understand, you know, what I call now the invisible causes of anger, the internal causes of anger. I didn't know what they were. I didn't know how to do anything about them because I was blind to them. But once you show people what they are, then they have a lot of natural ability to step in and do something about it.
Okay. Answer this question that I literally have probably gotten 300 emails. They say, I don't want to be angry anymore at my ex, but I don't know how to stop being angry. What would you say to that person? I know it's a much longer conversation.
No, I think that's where most people are today, regardless of what the context is of the anger, whether it's divorce related, ex related, or you're angry at your kids, or you're angry, you know, at the Democrats or the Republicans, or who knows what. whatever it is, we don't know how to stop being angry. We haven't been taught the principles that I teach in the book, that it should be taught in every high school and every college in the country. Okay, you shouldn't be allowed to graduate college without understanding where your anger comes from inside you. We all see the external events that make us angry, okay? The behavior of our ex, you know, behavior of our kids, behavior of the government or political parties or whatever. What we don't see is what that's triggering inside us in addition to the anger. It's triggering certain thought processes, certain perceptual filters, ways that we're looking at the situation, which oftentimes are not exactly accurate. You know, there's a lot of distortions in the way that we process information, and we don't understand the mechanism that causes anger and other emotions, by the way. It's not just anger. We don't understand anxiety. We don't understand guilt. We don't understand sadness, worry. They all have internal like programs, almost like a computer program that will generate the emotion. We think it's being generated by the outside event, and that's only part of the story. That's the trigger, external trigger. But we've got these internal triggers that nobody talks about and nobody's educating people about that can really give them the power and control over their anger many times for the first time in their lives.
Like what? Give me a couple examples.
Well, there's three primary. Firstly, you have to realize that we don't see reality as it really is. We filter everything through our brains and our bodies and however we have grown up and the biases that we have and the experiences that we've had. Everything gets filtered. So we're not seeing real reality, we're seeing filtered reality. And there are three main filters to which we look when to get angry. The first one is we have to see the event or thing that happened. If somebody did something bad or wrong that they shouldn't have done. So we don't get angry if we think something was wonderful or terrific or fantastic, okay? The second thing is we have to see somebody being hurt or harmed or negatively impacted. Could be us, could be other people. There's usually a bad and wrong behavior, and then that results in a negative impact on somebody. And then the third thing is we have to see the person who did the bad wrong thing as being unilaterally or primarily responsible or to blame. So it's a very narrow, it's like we have these very narrow blinders on, and we just see the behavior of that person, and we don't think about or acknowledge any other causes that may have played a role. It just looks like it was purely 100% their behavior, that they did the bad and wrong thing and caused the hurt and harm. So when you look through, those are the three, that's the computer program that generates anger inside human beings. There's a different set for like anxiety and a different set for guilt and a different set for worry. But for anger, it's somebody did something bad, wrong, somebody was hurt and harmed, somebody was 100% responsible. Same thing when we get angry at our spouse. They did something bad, wrong, they somehow negatively impacted us or maybe our kids or somebody or something else, and they're totally responsible. You know, it was totally their fault or mostly their fault. And when you see it that way and believe it that way, then you get the emotion of anger. Okay.
Okay. And so how does knowing all of that help you get rid of the anger?
Well, the interesting thing is if you actually circle back, remember Jen Psaki, the circle back gal?
Uh-huh.
if you circle back and then ask yourself, well, did they really do something bad wrong? Was somebody really hurt, harmed, negatively impacted? Were they really 100% responsible to blame? You often find out that one or more of those filters is false or partly false. In relationships, we get angry with our spouse, and part of the reason we get angry is because we have these blinders on that looks like whatever's happening is totally their fault. And in a relationship, that's almost never true.
Okay, Mort, that's what I was going to say. I was going to say, okay, so if you're in a relationship, a lot of times I hear people are arguing with their spouses, and you're right. They're not thinking about the role they might have played in it. Maybe you're angry at yourself. Yeah. Maybe you're shifting the blame to your husband when really it was his mother, you know?
Maybe the thing is they have these blinders on. So they're seeing the things their spouse is doing that may not be the best things, okay? But they have blinders on. So at the same time, they're focused on what their spouse is doing or not doing. They're not seeing how they may have contributed in one way or another,
right,
to why their spouse is behaving that way or why they continue to behave that way and they're still in the relationship and they haven't done anything to modify it or stop it.
Plus, when you have pent-up anger for years and years, yes, your spouse could sneeze and you get angry about it. It doesn't even matter. Whatever he or she does, you're angry.
But you're still looking through the same filters. You're still seeing their activity as being bad and wrong and negatively impacting you. and then being responsible. And in each instance of your anger, even though you're pulling up all these old episodes to exacerbate it, in each instance, you may not be telling the truth about that one episode that triggered your anger. Okay, there may be holes in those filters that you're not filling in, and you have to circle back and ask yourself the tough questions. Okay, for example, I'll give you an example from my relationship with my wife. We're about to celebrate our 40th wedding anniversary, which never would have happened, by the way, if I hadn't figured out 40 years ago I had to get rid of most of my anger, because all my relationships before that, you know, crashed and burned because I didn't understand this stuff. So by the time we got married 40 years ago, I had gotten rid of most of my anger. My wife never had a lot of anger, okay? So consequently, we don't have a lot of anger in our relationship. We don't fight a lot. We don't have arguments a lot, okay? In the beginning of the relationship, there was this one weird circumstance where we would fight with each other. And it was so unusual that it stuck out like a sore thumb. And it would only happen when we went on car trips somewhere. And even weirder, it wouldn't happen when we drove to the car trip. It wouldn't happen when we were there. It would only happen when we drove home. And if there happened two or three times.
I'm picturing you asking for directions and that pissed off your wife.
No, it was close, but
no. No, I'm sorry. You not asking for directions, because that's what men do. They don't ask for directions.
Yeah, that could have happened, but this is a little different. But so, I'm very close. So I'm usually I'm driving home, okay? And my wife will say, oh, there's something over here that I'd really like to go see or explore. It's only like an hour off our path. Let's go over there. And I would go like, no, we're not going there. You know, I'd have a tone, and I'd really, you know, it's like my sense was just that was that okay. All right. And then she would go like, why not? You know, and I would say, we're not doing that. And of course, I had the control of the wheel, you know, so I could determine where we went. And then we'd get in this fight. Okay. And so I started, now I went back and I circled back and I said, all right, what are the three filters? Am I thinking she's doing something bad and wrong by asking to deviate from the direct route home? And I said, yeah, I am. That's partly why I'm angry, okay? And then when I circle back on that one, I say, well, is it really true that what she's doing is bad and wrong? I went like, not really. I mean, it's not so much that it's wrong. It's just different than how I would do it or how my family did it. You know, her family had a different tradition. In our family, we went directly home. We didn't stop it. So once I saw that, wait a second, she's not doing something bad. She's not doing something. She's not committing a crime. She just has a different preference than mine. I went like, oh, man, that was like, I judged her negatively just because she was doing it different, and it's truly not wrong. It's truly not bad. So as soon as I saw that, I said, okay, the jig is up. The jig is up. I'm not, and I stopped. I said, I'm not doing that anymore. You know, I'm not going to irrationally judge her, you know, as being bad and wrong when she's not. Okay. The truth is she's not being bad and wrong. So now whenever, and from that point on, whenever we're driving somewhere and she wants to deviate off the path, I say, sure, honey, if you want to go there, let's go. You know, so part of my job as a husband to help you have what you want. So, but you see, I'm no longer looking through the filter. I'm no longer seeing it as being a true crime that she's committing by deviating from the direct route home. It's like, I realized that was caca.
So interesting how the mind works.
Yes.
Wow. Well, yes. Mort, I can't wait to read your book. Really looking forward to it. I'm definitely going to get the book for free. And I want to just tell my listeners, you can get Mort's book for free if you go to aprilbookoffer.com. But at midnight on April 30th, it will be gone and you'll have to pay $19.99 on Amazon. But that's okay. That's good too. Yes. And it's available though also in paperback.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it'll eventually be available as a Kindle book and a hardback also down the road. But in April, it'll be mostly paperback and this free offer until April 30th.
Love it. Mort, thank you so much for taking time to be on the show. Really, really love the conversation.
Well, thank you for having me. Happy to spread this information to your audience, and I hope they take advantage of it.
And one more thing to my listeners, if you want to send Mort an email, have a consultation, be part of his coaching, learn more about the book, Mort, where can they reach you?
Well, two ways. They can go to my website, which is docorman.com, docorman.com, like Susie Orman, although I'm not related. and when they sign up for the free book, they'll get on my email list anyway, so they'll be able to email me that way. And they can always unsubscribe if they don't like the emails, but so they can communicate with me by email that way too. So either way, and they're on my website, there's a contact sheet where they can send me a message. And when they sign up for the free book, they'll be in communication with me also.
Well, I have to say, I really enjoy your emails and I read all of them because I want to tell my listeners they're not too long and they really give you a lot of things to think about. They're great, Mort. Keep up the good work. I love it.
Well, thanks.
And to my listeners, if you want to find trusted, vetted divorce professionals, including Mort, you can go to divorcedgirlsmiling.com. You can also go there to listen to more podcasts, read articles, download my mobile app, or sign up for my free consult. So thank you so much for listening, everyone. We'll talk to you real soon.